7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tom Ianelli here with you. Another amazing Croc podcast for our infamous, amazing, loving, adorable survivors. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. I see we have a tri-host this week. We have Mr. Noah Santana joining us, I understand.
Holy cow. There it is. He had to scream for you. He screamed for you to say, Croc Nation, let's get started.
So what are you feeding our young future podcast celebrity?
Right now, with the screaming of the baby, you're hearing him enjoy his power. It's called Power Veggie Power.
Veggie Power. What's better than that?
Yeah, you hear him? He's going nuts. That's why I'll be on mute for the remaining of this podcast. Standing by.
Well, listen, I'll cover you, my friend. You take good care of that baby of yours. So, Croc Nation, we have a really great podcast for you today. This is resuming our Reclaiming Normal module. And today we're going to be talking about sort of a hodgepodge of a few different things, and it's entitled Expand or Contract. It's up to you. Now, what does that mean to you, Angel, to expand or contract?
Well, it can mean a lot of things. I mean, you could think of it in the sense of when you're expanding your home, when you're I'm just being funny. But no, honestly, it depends on the term you're using it for. I think when the first time you said it, because I'm in the process of trying to build on my home, I'm really thinking of expansion. So that's why I took it that way.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about expansion and contraction in a survivor's journey, in a cancer survivor's life. And basically, as I wrote in the introduction, one of the gifts that all of the cancer patients that I've ever touched have told me is that their cancer journey has given them a sense of immediacy. And there are other keywords that they use, such as urgency, immediacy, perspective, priority, importance, meaning, creativity, satisfaction, accomplishment, stimulation, balance. These are all things that we hear from our survivors. And what they mean when they're stating these things is they're basically breaking down the whole, I guess, the core of survivorship. And the core of survivorship, and we say it pretty often, actually, is that when you get that diagnosis of cancer, it changes that entire false view that we have that everything is okay and that we're going to live forever. And the average of a person's existence in the United States of America is 85 years old. You're guaranteed that number and you're going to be absolutely fine. You're not going to have any illness until you're 85. And then you're going to go to sleep one night and just not wake up. And, you know, that's our fantasy. But then you get told you have cancer, even if you know you're going to be cured of your cancer. And that whole sort of narrative, that fairy tale that we have in our minds just dissipates and just dissolves in front of us. And that's why I think it's important that we use these words of urgency and immediacy, because that's what our survivors have. They have a sense that, you know what, if I'm going to do something with my life now that I've been diagnosed with cancer, I better get on a stick and get it done, because now I see that I don't have that full sense of reality. And that's why I think the major change in cancer is exactly that. And you and I and everyone else in the world who don't have those chronic illnesses or those potentially fatal illnesses, again, going back to that fantasy that we had, that veil of denial. It's sort of like the story of Sisyphus, you know, the existential story of the man who's condemned to keep pushing the same rock up a hill every day, and then the rock will fall down the hill, and the next day you have to do the same thing over and over again. I think a cancer survivor will look back and say, what are you doing? That's silly. You just keep on doing the same thing every day, every day. You're not making any progress. You're just doing the same thing. And I think we're satisfied doing that. And I think our cancer survivors are not. So we're going to talk about not just career. When you think about contraction and expansion, and you think about immediacy, you think, oh my God, you realize that you've been working your, what off for so many years or decades, and you don't really know why you're doing it. You have no professional sense of accomplishment or satisfaction. And, you and I will just say, well, we got to get up and make the donuts, right? That's what we do. Whereas a cancer survivor will say, well, I don't know if I really want to do this anymore. I'm not sure if this is something I want to do. Or they might say, yeah, this is what I want to do, but I want so much more to do with this that I need to get done as soon as possible. I use the expression, no more fudging around, right? It's time to, get on the shtick. And it's really a good policy and thought process and teaching moment for all of us who have our heads in the sand, if you know what I'm saying. So we're going to start and talk about work, but it really bleeds over to everything, into relationships and hobbies. And in some of the papers that I've read, basically it's a fundamental change in work and leisure. So we're going to take it from there. What do you think about that, Angel?
Nothing better than work and leisure. I like that. Combination is good, but the key factor is, well, when you're at work, what is the most important thing to you?
So we're going to talk about today, basically a couple of things. We're going to talk about two choices in your professional life. We're going to talk about if you really are motivated to make a change, and then we're going to talk about how to make that change. And we're going to kind of touch a little bit on education, going back to school, which would probably be a very formidable or scary endeavor for anybody, but imagine a cancer survivor. So we're going to be talking about those subjects today in this expansion and contraction module. So when I say track up and track down, there's many stories that I've heard multiple times for both scenarios, and they seem to be opposites. They're not really fully opposites, but they are somewhat opposites. So tracking up is that you really want to make your mark. You've been working in middle management, you've been working in the middle of the pack. You really haven't done all the things you thought you would do. You're X amount of years old. You're 30 years old. You're 40 years old. You're 50 years old. You're 60 years old. You just get diagnosed with cancer and you say, you know what? Before I call it a career, I really want to do this. I really want to discover this, or I want to create this product, or I want to write this poem, or whatever it is that you want to do that you haven't been able to do. And I think that's fine. That there's nothing wrong with that. I applaud that. And again, we go back to the theme of today's podcast. It's immediacy. They really want to get it done. But there's also nothing wrong with tracking down. There have been also many stories from survivors who have told me that they've been doing the same thing, the same aggravation, the same headaches, the same bureaucracy, the same nonsense day in and day out for 30 years, 20 years, 40 years. And they say, I really don't have anything else to prove. I don't really need to do this anymore. And I've seen the complete opposite. I've seen people take their diagnosis of cancer and say, you know what? I would rather get up in the morning and, hike a trail, or I would rather, sleep an extra hour or learn to bake bread or do something. Spend more time with my family, read more books, see more movies, catch more fish, whatever it is they want to do. And there's nothing wrong with tracking down either. That's why the title of the podcast, as it relates to your profession or your career or your leisure, is expansion or contraction. It's completely up to you. And again, Angel, we never point out issues. We always try to give at least some advice. And here's our advice. Number one is that once you figure out that you have to figure out, you have to know what you have to figure out. You want to make your mark, you want to not make your mark, whatever. You have to literally write this down, and you have to know exactly what it is that you want in your work or your leisure. You want to know what your legacy will be. You want to know what your legacy, you want your legacy to be. And shoot for the moon. Don't just settle. What's the difference if you don't hit it, but at least you try? And that's, I think, the most important thing, Angel, is if you are going to track up, shoot for the moon, shoot for the stars. And you know what? If you miss it by a little bit, you know, no one's going to condemn someone who works the purity of the work toward that goal.
I'd have to agree with that statement because, you know, I've always believed in reaching for the stars. I've always believed that you can never, ever fail if you try your best. As long as you give it your all, you can never say you failed.
Exactly. Then I want our survivors to come up with a plan. Whatever that plan is, come up with it and stick with it. And you can't work in a vacuum. You have to collaborate. You have to share your thoughts and your aspirations with your fellow coworkers, with your bosses, with the people that are in charge. You want to sit down with them and you want to always be honest and transparent. And you want to say, hey, listen, you know, I've been given a good bill of health from my doctors. I just got diagnosed with breast cancer. I'm cured. I went through my surgery, my chemotherapy, my radiation. My doctors tell me that I'm going to live a normal life, but you know what? I still have a lot of work to do. And this cancer thing is freaking me out. And I want to get to work and I want to stop fudging around. And this is what I want to do. And here's what I need you to do to help me achieve this. This is what I need. I might need more staff. I might need more resources. I may need more technology. I might need more hardware, software, whatever. More paper clips, whatever it is that you need, you're supposed to collaborate and be honest with your bosses and your coworkers. And then I want you to think about expanding yourself intellectually and educationally. You may want to get to the next level, and we're going to actually talk separately about education in a little bit. But you might want to, in order to achieve what you want to achieve, you might have to get some further training. And then I also want you to go after it with the single-mindedness of a hungry wolf. I want you to go after your goal. I want you to get in there and just absolutely tear away at it. And that's the one option you have to track up. You can also track down, and there's nothing wrong with tracking down. As I said, you have nothing to prove to anybody and you have nothing to lose. But when we look at the way a cancer survivor thinks, we look at basically three things. We look at perspective, which is change because cancer has changed your perspective. We look at prioritization, and that changes because, again, you know, cancer gives us a sense of immediacy. And it's that immediacy that makes us really reckon what it is that we want to do with our careers and with our leisure. And we're going to get into the group of survivors that may not want to track up or track down. They might want to change. And if it is a change that you're looking for, you want to identify the change as either a radical change or a moderate change. So for example, if you're a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, or whatever you happen to be, an Indian chief, but you never like, and you're enjoying your career and you're having a good career, but really in your heart, you always wanted to be a writer or a poet or a jazz pianist or a chef or a forest ranger, a teacher, a carpenter. There is no better time to make that change than now. Maybe you live on the East Coast, but you always wanted to live in the mountains of the West Coast or live in Alaska or homestead or whatever. Now is the time you want to make a change. It could be a moderate change. You might be the boss and maybe you don't want to be the boss anymore. Maybe you want to step down and have less responsibility. Maybe you used to design skyscrapers. Well, maybe now you want to just design beach houses, something fun, something you feel that will be, you know, fun to do. I remember talking about changes, although not due to cancer. I always remember the movie Kramer versus Kramer when Dustin Hoffman has a really high paying job and his wife leaves and leaves him with the kid, the young kid. And, he's running back and forth trying to balance his life. And his boss ends up demoting him to go back to the design tables. And it's really the best thing that ever happened to him. because now he has less responsibility, less work, and he gets to, prioritize his family. And I think that's a metaphor for, our cancer survivors. I think cancer does do that prioritization and gives you that sense. Again, I've said it 100 times, that immediacy to make those changes. Many of us already want to make those changes, but we're afraid to make those changes. I think cancer eliminates that fear or the hesitation to make those changes that I think a cancer survivor wouldn't hesitate to do. They'll just go right into it because, again, that sense of immediacy. And I also want to warn everyone, as much as we're recommending and supporting this, whether you want to track up or track down, or whether you want to make a radical change or a moderate change, do not be impulsive. We want you to find a mentor. We want you to research the crap out of it. We want you to shadow somebody, seek opinions, but only positive opinions. I remember when my wife wanted to go back to work, I'm sorry, go back to school and get her doctorate. It was so common to hear someone say, "Well, why would you want to do that? Or you can't do that. Or aren't you too old to do that?" Well, she's got her degree. I'm looking at her degree right now, and it's right on the wall. So apparently she wasn't, stupid enough not to get it. She was brilliant. She was motivated. She was smart, and she didn't listen to all the negativity. And I think that I agree with that example for our survivors, that Denise gives to us. Don't listen to the naysayers, only listen to the positive stuff. But again, we want you to be non-impulsive, really shadow, research, seek opinions, find mentors that will want to help you in a positive way. And I want to also touch on education. So I liked school. School, obviously, I did a lot of it, and I must have liked it because I kept going and I was good at it. And it was sort of my, you all know that I'm a sports nut. I was never very good at sports. I was never very athletic, but I was very good in school. So my athletics were school. My big games were big exams or board exams or standardized tests or whatever. And I wasn't as intimidated with school, but I recognize the fact that there are a lot of people who are intimidated by school or may not like school. So let me tell you guys the following. If you were a average student in high school, or if you were a person who really hated school or did very badly in school, or perhaps you're old, or older like I am, and they didn't really have the wherewithal to diagnose people with learning disabilities or diagnose people with ADHD, or to give resources or consideration, and your school experience was terrible. Well, I do have good news for you. And also, by the way, not only are you probably older, but now you're a cancer survivor. So you're freaking out. You're thinking, well, I do want to track up and I do want to make my mark, but I need this specific certificate. I need my Sigma 6, or I need my professional engineering test, or I need, my CPA, or I want to take the bar exam, or whatever it is that you want to do. I want to let you know that there has never been a better time in the history of the world when there is such access to education. There's informal access with the do-it-yourself YouTubes. I mean, even me, who doesn't know the difference between a Phillips head and a regular screwdriver, I could probably learn how to, like, basically, fix a carburetor on YouTube, or cook, a fancy French dish or casserole, or do something crazy, fix a bicycle or put a bicycle together. There's so many resources, and I don't. I want you guys to. I want you to channel the courage. And channel your inner strength, the same strength that you're utilizing to get through your survivorship on a day-to-day basis. I don't think you realize how tough you are. I don't think you realize how strong you are. I don't think you realize how absolutely indestructible you are. Your spirit is indestructible. And I think that if you were to take the attitude that if I could do cancer, I can do school, I can go back and get that extra education or get that extra certificate or get the training that I need. You know, and even if you happen to be in my age group in your 60s and you're not that computer savvy and you have to learn how to do spreadsheets and PowerPoints, you can do it. If you can do cancer, you can do PowerPoint. If you can do cancer, you can do Excel. If you can do cancer, you can do a dissertation. I promise you that. You can do statistics. You can do anything. And on the formal side, you have on-site education, off-site education, remote education. You have matriculation where you're actually applying to a school, whether it be a school that you attend or a school you go on the computer for. And there are schools now that have remote programs, Johns Hopkins and, you know, Columbia, all these great schools. They have access for you to take courses and learn and get access to some of the best professors in the universe. There's certification courses, there's continuing education courses, there's seminars, there's webinars, there's lectures, there's clubs, there's groups, there's chat rooms. There are so many ways that you can get yourself educated and trained if you're interested in expanding yourself. And at the end of the day, if you're not, that's okay too. If you're trending down, that's fine. You have nothing to prove. You're a cancer survivor. You've proved enough. And I'm going to turn it over to you, my dear friend Angel, for the last word.
You know, I think the best thing I can tell you is from my own experience, going back to school after being told many times that, you know, you can't do it. I remember being told by peers of mine, best friends of mine, that said, hey, you can't do it. You're not going to be able to do it. You're too old. You're not going to be able to accomplish these goals. Well, Noah, as my son is probably trying to tell me, Daddy, you can do anything. Well, yes. Hold on. Let Daddy have his last word on the Croc podcast. So I want to tell you, everybody that's out there listening, it doesn't matter how old you are. As you hear a baby in the background to the age of 60, 70, 80, it's what you put your mind to. It's what you believe you are capable of. But don't let that naysayer in the back of your head to say, but I can't do it, because you can. Because you know what? If you can say to yourself, you can't, you can say to yourself, you can. And when you do, and you achieve, it is the greatest feeling in the world.
Awesome. Well done, my dear friend. And next week, we're going to also continue with your Reclaiming Normal. And we're going to try to help you, if you do want to expand, figure out how to pay for that. So we're going to talk about survivorship and the fiscal world. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. As always, my co-host, thank you for everything. You're a great man, my friend, and great dad and great human. Rod Freeman, small biz up. Rod, I will not see you at the board meeting, but I hope to talk to you and get that data and get your input for how we could make this podcast and our organization stronger. To the board of directors, I look forward to dinner next Thursday. Please don't eat for a week. It's going to be amazing. I want to thank Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson for all their support and belief in our mission and what we're trying to do. And what it is we are trying to do is we are trying to make each of our survivors' journey, each of you know that you are worthy, that you are incredibly holy, that you're a tough, strong individual deserving of a good life, of deserving of a good journey, deserving of being the person you want to be, deserving of achieving all that you wish to achieve or not. Whatever it is that your dream or your goals are, that's what the Croc podcast is all about. So in closing, as we close every week, on behalf of Angel and the entire board, I want to wish you all a very long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.